McGee.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to thank each of you for being here today and on the live stream if you're watching. It's an opportunity to stand on Easter Sunday. I don't think that I've done this before. Maybe feeling the occasion a little bit more than usual. Appreciate Jeff's comments. I remember our family get-togethers, and we have it on a home video, and when Jeff and Michelle had just gotten engaged. Michelle's walking around showing off the ring, and Jeff's so much younger and so much happier, and you know, I'm just kidding. He's just as happy now as he was then. He didn't know what he was getting into, but with good memories, and it doesn't feel like it's been that long ago. Time flies. But it's Easter. It's the year 2023. How is this possible? Thank you to the young ones and the older ones that sang. We're so blessed to have all these kids in our local. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be a part of this church. I'm blessed to stand and preach an Easter sermon. And the first scripture I want to use today in the sermon is out of the book of John. In the first chapter, John, in the first five verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Christ was with God from the beginning. It says that he is the same as God, but separate. And He was there in the beginning. And I have personally wrestled with this passage probably more than any other in all the scriptures. And questions that I have that come up from reading these words and trying to understand them and trying to process the depth of them. He was there in the beginning. The beginning of what? Because God always was. He's always been. And so I can't wrap my brain around that because my whole existence is measured by time. I had a beginning, and I'm going to have an end. And each of us have a beginning, and each of us will have an end in this life, but that's not how existence works for our Creator. He always was. So I think about when He was, and I think about Easter Sunday, and I think about the questions of Christ humbling Himself and coming to this earth and being born. I think about a young Jesus. I think about Him growing and learning from His parents and having family and having cousins and being a child, just like each of us have been a child. And I think, when did young Jesus understand who He was? When did He know? When did He become aware of what His Father's plan was? When did He know what His future was going to be? So I turn these over in my head, and I think about them, and the relationship between me and my God, and the relationship between God and his Son. And as much as I wrestle with it, and as many questions that come out of it, I find as many answers, and I find as many new understandings every time I read it. And I'm going to warn you, I have quite a bit of reading today, so I'll try to make it swift and as interesting as possible. Continuing 1 John, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here's this man whose name is John, and he was sent before Christ to bear witness of the true light. And so this man goes out, and you know, I'm just going to say it. It's kind of a tip-off here who's sitting up here with me. Do you know what the relationship was between this man, John, and Christ was? How were they related? They were cousins. They were cousins. John was born roughly 6 months before Jesus was born, and he had a very specific calling. He had a divine calling from God to bear witness of the light that was going to come. It's going to give life to all mankind. And so he goes out in the wilderness, and he has a unique way of preaching the kingdom of God. He's out in the wilderness, and it says that he eats locusts and wild honey. And he has no personal wants for himself. He knows that his time is limited on this earth, and that he has a mission and a service to perform. And so he's preaching, and he's baptizing. John, before Christ, is baptizing. And so men come to him, and they want to know who he is and how he's doing this and why he's doing this. And they say, they want to know, who are you? And he answers them when they ask him. He says in the 20th verse, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Tell us what to think of you and who you are. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. So he knew the nature of Christ. He knew who was going to come. He knew his qualities. He knew his character. And he was waiting for him, and he was preparing the way for Jesus. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me. John was older. John was born before Jesus. But he recognized his time existed before his time existed. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John didn't know that Jesus was the Lamb of God until this moment. They were cousins. They grew up together. I'm sure they spent time together and laughed and played and did all the things that cousins do. But he had a witness from God that told him, "Who you see the dove descend upon, this is my only begotten." And he recognized it. I can't imagine the emotion and the feeling that John had in that moment when he realized who he truly was. 30 years of life spent together, and in that moment, this revelation given to him. Kept coming to this passage and thinking about it, and I was asking myself why. Like, why am I thinking about this? Why am I talking about this on Easter Sunday? And I think it's that revelation. It's that dove of witness. Because we in our lives, we need to remember the times where God has sent that dove. That dove of testimony and witness to us. To convict us, to give us a belief, to deepen our faith, to convict us, to give us a personal testimony and an individual knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Because this life will test us. It tested John. John was taken captive and thrown into prison, and he was beheaded. John, who spent his life preparing the way of the Lord, and he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." He knew what his role was. He knew his purpose was served. He lost his life for the sake of the Lord. And this life is going to test us individually. It's going to turn you upside down. It's going to toss you around. It's going to cause turmoil and doubt in your heart and in your soul. And in an anxious and fearful time, you might find yourself separated from God, separated from the love of God, separated from the voice of His Spirit. Saying things you thought you would never say. Feeling emotions you thought you would never feel. You might find yourself like Peter did in a moment of fear. Saying about our God, "I know him not." I have forgotten and ignored the voice of my God at times in my life. I know that I'm not the only one that has done this. I let myself become so distracted and entangled and ensnared by the cares and the worries and concerns of this life that I couldn't hear, that I wouldn't hear the voice of God reaching out to me. Have you been here? Have you been in that place? Luke 22 says, "Then the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' Peter went out and wept bitterly." It is a bitter feeling. It is a bitter feeling to know that you have turned your back on the one who loves you most. The one who has given his life for you. It is the lowest of lows. But God in his mercy brings us back. This takes place in our lives in myriad ways, countless ways. It can be the voice of a loved one admonishing us. It can be a sermon. It can be forced humility. It can be misfortune in our lives. where we are forced to turn back to God because we have nowhere else to go. This is how God reaches out to us. He turns and he looks at us, and we feel that guilt, and he calls us back. So Peter leaves and he weeps bitterly, knowing he denied the one who loved him most. Christ is taken for the chief priest, and he's taken before the Sanhedrin, and he's taken before Pilate, and Pilate is standing there before this crowd, the mob that wants someone to be killed. And he presents Jesus to the crowd, and he presents him along with a criminal named Barabbas in Matthew, the 27th chapter. And he asks them, he says, "Who do you want? Who are we going to choose today to kill?" Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed, smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. I have, I don't mean this to sound flippant, so follow me through this thought that I have here. I have a bad habit. I am, and my wife can testify to this, I'm a picker. Not like a nose picker. I pick my fingernails and my toenails and calluses, and it is just a revolting habit. But I've had that happen since I was a kid. You know, as a little kid, I would scrape my knee and scrape my arm, and the wound would turn into a scab, and I would sit there and just pick that scab, incessantly picking a scab over and over. And now I have a few spots on my body where I have a scar because I couldn't leave these scabs alone. I would just go back at them obsessively. I was repeatedly inflicting damage to myself over and over again. And even though it seems minor, one on my wrist, one on my elbow here, though it seemed minor, I scarred my body for the rest of my life through that minor damage. It fundamentally changed my body. My dad worked with his hands his whole life. And, you know, a legacy of that is now he has arthritis in his joints, in his hands, and in his elbows. And we used to go bowling, and I remember one of the last times we went, this isn't meant to talk bad about my dad or make him feel silly, but we went bowling, and he couldn't hardly throw the ball because he said the arthritis in his elbow was so bad, couldn't hardly extend it. It's a legacy of hard work, working with his hands, working harder than I have to work in my life. Some of you have had carpal tunnel surgeries or knee and shoulder replacements. Maybe you've had a heart valve replaced. Maybe you have a new liver in your body, new kidney, rods and pins put into a bone that was shattered. All major significant damage to your physical body. And some of that, most of that no one else can see. No one else knows that it's there. But you know that it's there. Because you have the memory of it. Because you still have the feeling of it at times. I thought my dad was being a little dramatic and he should just toughen it out. But as I get older, I know that aging is real. Those injuries are real. And it affects our lives. And they put limitations on us. And they can leave lasting fear and anxiety, some of those injuries. An athlete will rupture his Achilles or an ACL, and they say even after that ligament is healed, it takes longer to recover because of the mental part. You're afraid at any moment it might snap again. Sin and its effects are no different in our lives. There are the habitual sins, the picking at the scab over and over. There are the habitual sins in our life that we can't seem to get away from, that afflict you daily, that feel like it's just a part of who you are. And you reopen that wound just as it's about to heal. And those effects can be visible to those around us. And then there's the sin, there's the damage that's unseen to those around us, but it's just as real. It's deeper. And the consequences have been long-lasting. And they bring shame, and it brings guilt into our hearts and into our minds. And even when we have repented and come to our God and been forgiven and felt that forgiveness, there are times that sin, the memory of that, creeps back in, and those same feelings come back in and haunt. Cloud our lives with anxiety and fear. It's the legacy of sin in our lives. And what do we do with it? What do we do about it? There is nothing that we can do, but everything has been done for us. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Those images that we see, the European history versions of Jesus Christ, the flowing hair, that's not what Jesus looked like. There was no physical part of him that would draw anyone to him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out of his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. When he's hanging there, he's thinking about you. He's thinking about me, and he's bearing our iniquity. Bearing the weight and the scars of our sin. And he hung there for hours until it was done. Matthew 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And what did he say in that moment? He said, "It is finished." He accomplished everything he was sent here to do. The separation that existed between God and man that existed in the old law was destroyed. The veil was rent in two. God is now to dwell within our hearts. Our hearts would be his throne, be his temple. We're here because this isn't the end of the story. We're here to celebrate because there was more. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." When you see the scars of sin in your life, when you feel the effects of your sin, remember that rock being rolled away. Remember the tomb being empty. Remember that God took away that guilt and that shame. That Christ has redeemed us. We can stand, not just on Easter Sunday, but we can stand every day. Every day with a humble gratitude, with a humble confidence in our lives, understanding that he paid the price. He paid the price. We have that to celebrate today. We're here to witness to that. We're here to witness to that every day. The happiness, the excitedness that we feel today should carry that with us. This thought every day, he is risen. Brothers and sisters, God has given us a way. He's given us a way, a divine plan from the very beginning. The word was from the very beginning, and this plan existed from the very beginning. And that plan ends with us in eternity with him. And it is defined by these three words. He is risen. So I want to leave you with one more verse in closing. As we celebrate today, we go to our families and we enjoy our time with each other and you take stock of the blessings in your life. Remember the words that he gives each one of us. Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. If you haven't done this, I would encourage you to do this in your life. Open the door to our Redeemer. Let him come into your life. Let him be a complete part of your life. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. It's the promise that he's given us, and I'm standing here just to witness to how good our God is. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that message. You know, I jotted a note, one of the things that Kevin said, and I hope we each take this with us, is to hear the voice of God today. He's calling us to be a witness. We have an opportunity to be a witness in our life, the way we live our life, the way we engage with others, truly beyond just the day that we have today, but in our walk. I appreciate that, those words, Kevin. For some announcements, I'll offer, so the